are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So fathers play a pivotal role in the spiritual, emotional and physical development of their children. So today we are discussing biblical principles and practical advice and personal experiences that can help fathers forge deep, meaningful connections with their children. Whether you are a new dad, a seasoned father or a father figure, this conversation will offer valuable insights to you. And we're joined on the line by my elder Sibanda, who's going to be helping us unpack this, because I didn't imagine just as the father would. We don't know. Dala, good morning. How are you?
Morning, and how are you? We are morning to the viewers.
Indeed, we are good. Thank you so much, Mdala. Happy Father's Day in, but in belated. How do we say it? Well, for yesterday. For yesterday, Mdala. Are you well?
We'll keep it on belated.
Belated. Let's keep it there on belated, because we don't know, you know, putting Mdala Wami. Mdala, are you well? Are you well though?
Yes, I'm good. I'm good. And I hope you are good too.
We are good, Mdala Wami. Before we start our conversation, I'm gonna ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer?
Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, we come before thy throne this morning, asking that you imbue us with your wisdom as we discuss this very important topic, sons, fathers, relationships. Guide us, be the one who imbues your spirit to the listeners, imbue your spirit to us, that as we discuss, we ask that you be present as we pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Mdala Wami, for that prayer there. So we're looking at the how fathers can have a relationship with their children, right? But what does the Bible say now about the role of a father, and why is it important in the lives of their children?
Morning to the viewers. I think in the Bible we have many examples that are littered that show relationships between fathers and sons, or fathers and children. Mm. The one that I'll start with is that of God and Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And then we have the one for Abraham. Then we have the one for Jacob with his sons. And then we have the one for Abraham and Lot. Mm-hmm. But in all the examples that we see, the most important thing is that sons need a relationship with their son, with their fathers. Okay. And fathers need a relationship with their sons. Because in some instances, we see that when the relationship is lost, if we use the Joseph relationship, where the love of the father led to the demise of Joseph at first, mm-hmm. which then led to Joseph being great later. So probably what's important that I can derive from that is we need to ingrain principles to our children, such that even later, without our presence, as they go and experience life, because of the principles that they were taught at home, they may be able to maneuver the issues of the world, especially in this postmodern world that we are in, that is very fast with technology and everything. So I would say there is even the Bible says it urges us to listen to our children as much as the Bible urges our children to obey us. So there is a relationship that is need to be kept and need to be and principles that need to be followed. In summary, that's what I can say.
Yeah. So looking at, you know, yesterday we had quite a number of discussions that were going on around Dala, you know, in our private spaces and social medias and everything else, because of the issue of Father's Day, right? And we understand the whole issue Others are happy, others are sad, others are triggered. You know, it's a whole mix of bag. But how important is it, you know, and how can fathers actually build a strong, loving relationship with their children from a young age so that when days come like this, they don't become a trigger, they don't hurt, you know, the children?
I'll borrow some few words from Pastor Mapumulo. I had the privilege to be part of a discussion that Pastor Mapumulo was leading just last week, where he emphasized that as we talk about children and sons to fathers, it's important to identify the times that we are in now. It's no longer the past, that time where there was a one-way stream where fathers issue instructions and sons do, and that's it. Now we need to cultivate a community of a two-way system where sons are given time to give feedback to their fathers, and fathers give feedback to this, and have a roundtable discussion from a young age, from a young age, even coming to the simplest things about what the children request from you as a father. You sit down and then look at the pros and cons, even if you are still going to give a simple thing that the child has requested. Have a discussion just to cultivate that culture of discussion, and cultivate that culture of trusting each other, that I can make a decision. And then when I make a decision, it doesn't mean because I'm the son, I'm the child, I'm making a wrong decision. So one, you need to strengthen their decision making by being involved and discussing with them and trusting them from an early age. So once there's that discussion and the son is confident that when I propose or when I identify what I want to do, if I share it with my father, I'm not going to get a negative that you are poor in making decisions, or you are failing to make a decision, or this is not good for you, this is what is good for you.
Yeah.
From the father to the son. But it becomes, this is what I suggested, I wanted, and we had a discussion with my father. I'm still getting it,
yes,
but I got probably more flesh on how to tackle it and how to get it and how to maneuver it, such that they are confident in making decisions, even if you are present and not present. And also, by having that discussion, obviously you are bringing in the biblical principles as you discuss with your son in whatever they want, whether it's a career that they want to pursue later, whether it's an event that they want to go and get involved in, or whether they're asking to buy something. This is something that they want to buy.
So basically, it's a matter of allowing your child to have a say in their life.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, basically, it's that because once they know my dad supports me, the time that you will then have to say, but son, this will not work for you. And the reasons are this. There's trust now between you and your son. So the son then believes that this it's true, that my dad is not just saying no because he wants to say no.
Yeah.
Because of the relationship and other things that the son has done and achieved, knowing that he has collectively made those decisions with the dad. So there's no way now daddy can just say this is a no. Why? Then the son will then somehow believe.
Yeah. So knowing that, you know, these days when I think when we were growing up, it was usually really the fathers that were extremely busy. But these days it's both parents, where women are actually also out there as well in doing work. But looking at the dad, you know, how important is it for them to make time for their children, given their busy schedules, you know, because sometimes others say, "Yo, I don't have time. Meeting here or work this deadline and everything else," and they hardly even get to see their children growing up. So how can they in converted quotes fit their children into their busy schedules?
In our busy schedule, we are very busy, even for meetings and for business and for work, but fortunately or unfortunately we meet those deadlines, we manage to fulfill all those commitments in that business. So it means if you are intentional and you schedule, you will fulfill it. So why then will family life then be sidelined? So you have to be intentional also. And with God being God, gave us a Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
Sabbath is a full day, family day, but you can't depend only on Sabbath, because there are other things that children would want to engage with you. Your sons would want to engage with you that are beyond just the Sabbath.
Yeah.
So being intentional, as much as you are intentional at work, no matter how many things you have to do at work, you schedule them right. There's one thing that then we should guard against when scheduling. When your child knows that you have scheduled him or her, and he's like an item, that may also come wrong. That may also come wrong. So as much as you become intentional, probably show your child love, and also show that you are there for them. Even such that when you have times when you are not available and times when you are available, they understand that even in your absence, in the very few hours, in the very few days that you are absent, you still love them. Keep that communication. These days is better. You mentioned that in the past, the relationship was different. But
yes.
Now we have all these connections. You can do your Zoom call with your children. You can do your direct call with your children, your WhatsApp call. So you can even put them, even if you've traveled to China, you can do a Zoom call with all of them, even if they're in different institutions or different places. But that on its own, you making sure that you don't sleep without having that touch with them, and also what you call praying with them before you sleep, and then praying with them before they go to school, just checking on them. How has it been, son? How has it been, my daughter? I think that is critical also to augment the relationship between sons and fathers. Because so many times at church we are told, if we do not mentor our sons, the world will mentor them. And it's true.
So the other day, you know, when we were having this marriage conversation, we spoke about communication, where every time we spoke about communication, the issue of men not being able to communicate, you know, comes up. So how can now fathers communicate with their children and also teach them how to communicate, you know? Because if your father is always quiet, now are you going to grow up like that? And then it becomes a problem for us women. Anyway, yeah. So how can they now, you know, teach their children how to communicate and also communicate with them effectively so?
I'll start by saying same example that I gave. The previous example that at work now we are required to effectively communicate, and no one of us goes to work and fails to communicate, because we become intentional. We do short courses. We do workshops. We speak to people that can help us communicate. We develop every day to keep our jobs. Then, if this is the duty that God has given us, has ordained us for, to being a father to our kids, and if you realize that communication is not your strength, it's not a weakness to then seek for help. Seek for help so that you can have an environment of communication with your children, because communication is key. Without communication, you won't know what is in their minds. And mostly what is in their minds, that's what determines their feelings, and that's what determines young children's decisions that they make during the week, during the month, during the year. So you need to cultivate the spirit of communication. Without communication, definitely there will be a big juncture, a big problem. So I would say also communication must not be like stringent and planned communication where there are lines parameters of communication. You can get involved in a sport with your son. So as you play the sport, you are talking about things, whether it's an indoor game, whether it's an outdoor game. Take a drive with your son to the sporting field. As you do those things, talk. Try and create a different environment. There are things, yes, that you'd say, son, come sit down at home. Mommy's there, or other kids are there also. Son, we need to talk about this thing. This is because it becomes a lesson to other kids also. But there are other things that you can say, mommy and son, sit here, let's talk. And there are other things that are between son and dad, where you then have to, the two of you, whether you understand each other or disagree, but it's a, until you find a solution. And then he knows that I have a homework. Me and my dad were talking about this. And then I go looking for searching within me, because in the evening or the following day or in a week's time, we are going to come back to this same conversation with my dad. And then we need to find, finalize on it and conclude. So when you do that, when you're giving different environments, I think it helps when you're giving different environments than having the same environment every time to discuss matters. Because it will end up being that one from father to son, son, father saying things and son having to agree only. And then by then you then lose a lot of other important signs that may come with the conversation. Because as you discuss, the more freer the person is, the more you get the whole scenario and environment and the kind of understanding the person that you're talking to. So I think that environment, issue of environment is also important.
And you know, as you're speaking about the issue of communication, Mdala, I'm just thinking that maybe if the dad and the sons or son, you know, they find something in common, it will be easy for them if they love running, but when they're busy sweating, they it could increase their relationship and maybe help with the communication if they love. Sorry, gardening, they both of them do it together. Maybe it could help with that communication as well as that bonding time, that time that you're making for a child instead of scheduling there. You know? So I'm just thinking that maybe those things could help. But now there comes in the big question for me, Mdalawami, because we know fathers to be the disciplinarians. Yes. In the home, right? I think even us when we were younger, we would know good to us, they say dad, like babwako, you know, it was a different scenario than when they say umma or your mom, you know, it was two different scenarios today. And we know the fathers are the weepers, they're the one who take out the road. But how can they now discipline their children in a way that is loving? You know, and biblically grounded. Yeah, the whip is biblically grounded, but but how can they do it so lovingly that the children are not fearful of their fathers? They are not scared of their fathers, you know, saying that, yo, if dad is the one who comes here, it's over for me.
It's quite tricky.
Yeah.
You are very right. Even nowadays, they say that. They say, kuno tata, kuno baba, kuno dad. They say that my father is a dad. Others say my father, ubaba, my father, utata, because those things are meant to show the character of the father. Ukuthi unjani? Is it a one way or autocratic or kind of a laissez-faire father type of a father? So the coming to that, let me start by acknowledging what you just said about interest here, gardening and all that. Yes, it's important to find, and sometimes as a father, you do not need to be good at that. Let your child shine. Let your child shine. Just get involved. Let him enjoy. And don't get into it because you can't do it. Get into it because you want to bond with your son. And at times, you can be a spectator on what he's good at. If he's good at squash, if he's good at football, go watch his games at times and cheer him on. And then when you come back, as you are analyzing the match, as you are analyzing the game, you are also talking about things of life, referencing to things of life, decision making, and all that. Coming to the issue of discipline, it's quite key, because if you also become too soft at times as a father, you may lose it. You know, at times you may become too good, and then being too good into compromising principles.
Mm.
That's not the idea. The idea is provide the environment that your son or your child can be free to give feedback. And at the same time, also, the family values must be known, must be loved. And the children, I like again what Pastor Mapumulo said, if you are a family of five, let each one submit. These are my values. I have my two values now, two.
Mm.
The other one, two. So you have, you end up having 10 family values. You even ingrain them, maybe write them, put them on the wall, so that the values that you live by are values that are coming from everyone. If the other one is a bookworm, then there should be values about books. And then if the other one is this, but all in all the values must then be centered on Christ, and then be put to everybody, because those values represent every member of the family. So I think knowing that the values of this family, when we are saying no one comes after six,
okay,
in this house, this refers to everyone. It doesn't refer to the kids only. Because when we become that, where we speak and we don't do, our children then, remember, they're growing. They're growing. When they're 18, they're going to be different, because they know what you have been doing for the past 18 years. So I think, as much as the strictness is different from the past, because the kind of strictness of the past now will be defined as abuse, and our children, they will not, actually, you will not be able to raise a child under the same conditions of 20 years, 30 years ago. You won't. In one way or the other, you will lose each other with the child, and which is what you don't want. Yes, you remain the father of the house, yes, but given to input of the children, the principles are there. Guys, when we make decisions, we must remember these principles, remember these values. So when you come up with whatever your suggestion, first of all, also think about what God says, think about what the family values are about, and see, when you decide whether it's your career, whatever, before we even come and discuss it, just think about it. And if you think it is what is right, bring it on the table. Let's discuss it.
Yeah. And you're right, Mdalawami, there, you know, as much as we don't really like using this example, but we know that they say monkey see, monkey do, so whatever that they're seeing, you know, so if you do something, they will copy from you. If you don't do something, they will copy from you. So thank you so much there for that one, Mdalawami. So Mdalawami, as we wrap up there, you know, if you can give us your closing remarks regarding this issue of fathers having a relationship with their sons, and also do offer a word of prayer for those relationships as well.
Probably what I'll say, let's remember that we are not all mature as fathers. We make mistakes. And we are human. We are bound to fail. Unlike a 1960s father who, even when they fail, they will not admit that they've failed or they've been found weak. It's also important to put up your failures and your weaknesses as lessons to your children, that I have failed 10 years ago, 20 years ago, I wanted to do this, or I am this because I failed here. And this is the corrections. This is how I tried to correct it. And so that the children can see that life is just life. It is life. We are human. We are not superhumans. Because if you want to create a superhuman environment, and when the children see what is really happening in your life, they will then do the monkey see, monkey do, because they're saying, oh, daddy is always strict about church, daddy is always saying this about God, but this is what daddy is doing.
He is
so,
doing.
Be true to them. This is my life, guys. As much as book writers, they will write a book about their life stories. Share your life stories with them and share your regrets with your children and share your successes. Yeah.
Indeed. Mdala, please do pray for us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, we thank you for this discussion. We ask that you enhance the discussion as the listeners were listening, such that you speak to them in a mighty way and also imbue your wisdom in every discussion that we have put across. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen and amen. Dallas Banda, thank you so much for coming through and speaking to us today. May you have yourself a blessed, blessed day.
Thank you so much.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID.